Everything about the story was fantastic, but for him, it was the gameplay that really took a couple points away.
And why
And
is that?
the gameplay for him,
Well, I mean, in general, do you like, do you
I
feel
agreed
the
with
same
him.
way as him? Okay, so like, what
I
was up with the
did,
gameplay?
yes. For the gameplay for me, it was because I played BioShock, and there really wasn't anything different about that. I mean, it was sort of the same gameplay. You have your, you know, you have your plasmids, not plasmids anymore, but you know what I mean. Like, you still have the concept of plasmids. You still have the concept of, you know, you needing to upgrade your guns, and you know,
There's a familiarity to it.
there's a familiar, yeah, exactly. That wasn't to me, wasn't sort of groundbreaking, and felt in some respects sort of tacked on, which wasn't even like the intention, if that makes any sense.
You know, going off on BioShock, because that's actually my game of the year.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, it
All
is.
right.
And I kind of like languished over this too, but because okay, one of the things that that kind of did bother me about the game was that it really did feel a lot like the first BioShock, right? But if you think about it, that may have been the point, because it was all about repeating things, you know, when you get to the ending, which, by the way, the ending was what sold it to me, because with me, it's kind of 60-40, 60% story, 40% gameplay. So that ending, like, the way it wrapped everything up that was going on in there, you know, multiple worlds, all this other stuff, I was just blown away by that. The lighthouses, I'm trying to be as vague as possible here. But yeah, I was just thinking about the gameplay. I'm like, and the story, because the story structurally is almost the same. It hits the exact same beats as the first BioShock, but I think they did that on purpose. You know, different worlds, but the same kinds of things repeat themselves. And if you were to play the first part of the DLC, it kind of emphasizes that even more. But I chose that as the game because that's the one that really stuck out to me. Like even with you and The Last of Us, you keep coming back to it. BioShock was the one I kept coming back to. I'm like, wow. You know, just there's so many like variables in there, and I'm a big crazy sci-fi guy, so having a story that's just super sci-fi like that's not even on the surface of it a sci-fi story, but it really, really is. That's what made it my game of the year. Even though, and remember, I'm not a fan of first-person shooting games. I do not like them, and this is my game of the year, so that should tell you something right there.
I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people for, you know, were very hesitant to even add The Last of Us to their list, and that was because the multiplayer, I mean, like, you know, Danny Pena from Gamertag Radio was talking, talking to him about that on Twitter, and he
Shout
was
out to
like,
Godfrey.
yeah, the Godfrey shout out. He was like, you know, so what? Is it still a game of the year if the multiplayer sucks? And
Did
I
you
don't
think
know if
multiplayer? I don't count. I don't. I never count multiplayer. I never counted.
Actually really like that multiplayer, and
Yes, I agree. I agree. The multiplayer.
but you don't have to play it. You know what I mean? Like it's. I think it's included. It's
It's
not
built in.
inherently like you don't need to play the multiplayer to get the full kind of Last of Us experience.
Exactly.
As opposed to, say, maybe a game like a Halo or a Call of Duty where it's like, yeah, we know the single player is kind of blah, but you kind of have to play the multiplayer included like in the whole package.
But how is that okay, though? That's the question. That was the question that in the debate that we got into. It's that how is that okay? How are we rating these games? And if we're not, if we think that a game is fantastic, like let's say like a Call of Duty or something, you know, why are we saying, are we giving it perfect tens, knowing full well that the first player is going to suck balls, but the multiplayer is going to be awesome?
I think it's like what you said, it's a matter of perspective. You
Yeah.
know, if you literally play through that last of a single player experience and you were blown away to the like and you were nearly moved to tears and you're like, this is the best game I ever played, and then you're like, oh, there's some multiplayer here. Meh, whatever, not a big deal. But if you're still kind of boasting the single player, like I would go back to the single player every time. I would recommend this anytime. I would see the multiplayer as just, oh, this is something extra you don't have to do. So
Yeah,
how does that
part of
hurt
the
the game?
game, though. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I just think it's a very interesting conversation. It's like it's still part of the game. So why,
I think it comes down on the individual, doesn't it? Like, if multiplayer is important to you, it does matter. For me, the multiplayer is not important, so I don't even count that as part of the discussion when I talk about that game.
Well, also another example, too, is, like, with GTA 5, like, that was a big talking point, was, like, you know, how do you, you know, the single player for GTA 5 was given, you know, pretty much universal praise, but when you look at the experience of GTA Online, like,
oh, yeah, that's perfect.
Differently.
Yeah. They're two different games, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when it comes to GTA, yeah, I guess so. But like, I guess so. But you know, it's just it's a very interesting thing. It's like,
yeah.
You know, you get like you get the ratings board, and you get like tens all across. You have a game that, you know, the single player is fantastic and the multiplayer sucks, or the multiplayer is fantastic and the single player sucks.
Yeah, I think so, when a like, game offers you enough kind of meat in one end, it's totally okay to not excuse the other, but it's like, yeah, you know, if you've got a 15, 20-hour experience with Last of Us or GTA where you're playing it for like 50 hours and then you have this additional multiplayer that you may get 5 to 6 you know, hours of before you want to blow your head off, then,
yeah,
I mean, rate it whatever you want. It's through an experience anyway. Like, if you're still feeling good after playing, like, a shitty multiplayer, and if you're writing that review, it's like, hey, this single player is great, but man, you should probably avoid that multiplayer. I still want to give this a 10. I think it gives the reader or, you know, whoever you're trying to explain GTA 5 to, it gives them a sense of, like, wow, you must really like that single player, even if the multiplayer kind of blows.
That's why I feel like reviews in and of themselves really can't be quantified with scores. Because it's the focus should really be on the language inside the review, and I think most reviews said, you know, they were talking mostly about just the single player, whether it be for Grand Theft Auto or BioShock or Tomb Raider was another one that had a really good single player campaign and had a multiplayer, but the experience that, you know, was really like that really spoke for the entire game was single player. In Grand Theft Auto's case, though, I don't know, after playing the online game, I did kind of feel like it was two different games. Like, it was like a double feature, almost.
Yeah, one was good and the other was bad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I don't know, man. Once I played the online portion of it, you know, I waited a couple of weeks, by the way. I didn't jump in initially. I actually had a lot of fun with it. I spent a lot of hours playing it. I thought it was fun, but you're right. It's like a totally different... It's like GTA and MMO, basically, versus the single player. It's two totally different things.
Yeah.
They offer different things.
Don't call it an MMO, though, because people would be very... would get
it's,
pissed
yeah,
off.
Yeah, it tries really hard to be one.
I'm just saying it's kind of like that, yeah. Yeah, it does, it does.
But yeah, it's two different experiences. They're both portrayed differently. They're offered to you differently. I think that's that, and that was a big... I don't know. It's like Rockstar seemed to be kind of vilified by the media by delaying the online portion until October. But I think they just really wanted to drive the point home that it was just like a different game. I had a different experience.
I mean, think about it like this. Think about it like this. The main game, everyone calls it GTA 5. They call the online GTA Online. They don't call it GTA 5 Online. They call it GTA Online. Learning, you know, right there, it's a different experience.
It's not GTA 5, yeah. It's in the same world, but...
It even has its own like logo and everything, you know.
Yeah, definitely. George Ryan.
What was your experience with it? Somebody was saying something. Somebody was like, I had a different experience with GTA Online, and then.
Oh, you know, I mean, I think I played along with the other Dual Shockers here, like day
you
one.
Were
like,
building.
I was like, oh, this is hard. And you know, I had a lot of fun with it, but to me, the GTA Online was. It was a game trying to be a bunch of different games at once and then do one thing entirely well.
Yeah.
Like, the whole idea of, like, what made that game fun was getting online with you guys and literally just dicking around. How many times were we trying to, like, hey, let's go get, like, an actual game going of a deathmatch? It would take us 20 minutes to try to get a deathmatch going because none of the invites would work. Or, wait, how do I... Well, okay, I'll call you on your game cell phone to get you. All right, cool, call me. And then we finally get to these deathmatches, and all it is just a lock-on fight where it's just like, okay, just snap, lock-on trigger. I'm like, well, this is kind of boring. Mm-hmm. Like, that game's not meant to be anything. Like, the competitive stuff is not that good in that game. What my impression was GTA Online was going to be, oh, let's do heists and stuff online, like in the single player.
Nope.
And it was like, oh, so this is just Grand Theft Auto 4 online, which also sucked.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think it was a lot of us just kind of waiting for the good stuff to come in, and it just never quite came in.
Uh-huh.
I used that 500 grand to buy an apartment, and then I haven't played it since.
I'm pretty sure that last time we all played as a group was the last time I played.
Yeah, and we couldn't really play as a group.
Yeah, and even then I was just like, ugh, like, you know, it was like tedious for me to sign on, and to just like, it's just like, ugh, I've got like, there's already a lot of things to do, and I'm bored, and I mean, the only reason I played was because of with you guys, but otherwise, like, I started to lose interest. I mean, that's just not for me, I know. But whatever.
Yeah, that thing definitely has a shelf life. You have fun with it for a couple weeks, and then you're just done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes me wonder, if that online was available on day one, how much that would have actually affected the game, say, like, review scores.
That's what people were saying, that they thought Rockstar was being sleazy by not having...
Not sleazy, I think you want to put your best foot forward, and...
I'm just saying that the way they portrayed it, the way that they made it seem,
yeah.
I mean... You know, it's fun for them to do that.
I mean, they technically did push an incomplete product on us, which is you know, totally fine, because that's not what they sold. That's not the bill of goods they sold us, but...
Yeah, it could have ended up like a Battlefield 4 situation, kind of happening, where, you know, they would have had a broken game out and having to deal with all the complaints and trying to fix it on launch day.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be a good thing for Rockstar to go through? I mean, they do need to, in my opinion, go down a peg. Well, like, yeah. That's just me. For me personally, it's just like every time a Rockstar game gets released, and excuse me, I'm probably going to get some hate,
uh-oh.
But like every time a Rockstar game gets released, it's like it gets perfect tens, and it gets like, you know, these fantastic reviews. I follow the hype, I play it for a little bit, and then like I'm sorely disappointed to find out that it's pretty much the same exact game that it was the last time it was released. I don't know.
See, I don't think that's necessarily true.
The only time I felt that was different was with for me it was with Red Dead Redemption. Like Red Dead Redemption for me was like
that was amazing.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that was a great game. But you were mentioning like everyone just immediately just like, oh my god, Rockstar. But like I remember when Max Payne was released, you know, they said pretty much the same thing they said about like Grand Theft Auto 5. It was like, oh my god, great presentation, music's awesome, looks great,
yeah,
plays all right. It's still kind of more Max Payne, and why is Max Payne crazy? And so, yeah, I think people are, like, kind of like, you know, we don't have those rose-colored glasses anymore for Rockstar games. I mean, they still make good products, but they're not the be-all, end-all, and that's mostly...
But I did see a lot...
They're in a bubble, so they're no longer the, like, you know, whatever Rockstar makes is, like, the next step in innovation. It's just like, no, they just make good game experiences. They, you know, they're not reinventing the wheel anymore.
See, I think for me it's more for the Grand Theft Auto series. I feel like it's, like... I think I should have been more specific, and I apologize for that. I feel like it's more the Grand Theft Auto series. It's like it's the same thing.
It's this thing over and over again. Like they can do no wrong with Grand Theft Auto, but yeah, no, I agree with you, Diana, because in terms of the gameplay, I've enjoyed 4 and 5 thoroughly. But I thought there were a lot of things story wise that 4 did better than 5. I thought a lot of times 5 was just trying too hard.
The problem with 5 was that the story didn't feel like it had any sense of purpose until like the last third of it. You know, like with every Grand Theft Auto before that, you always felt that things were leading to something, mm-hmm. you know? With Grand Theft Auto 5, I'm like, where the hell is this going? It just felt not coordinated until the last third of it.
Was rushed, and I thought that the characters weren't properly fleshed out enough. In terms of the relationships with each other.
Well, I mean, it was it started off as, oh, it's a cool little, it's put it like this, as soon as Trevor shows up, we forget about Franklin, because Franklin's supposed to be almost like our conduit to that world, where it's like, oh man, shit is crazy, but I'm gonna do it anyway. And then once Trevor show up, it's just the Trevor and Mike story about, we need this one last, you know, one last big score, and then they just kind of like, oh yeah, don't forget about, who cares about Franklin, these two guys are way more interesting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was the problem with three characters. The idea of swapping between three characters is neat, but it's like, you know, keeping together a three-way story. It is kind of
that's
a nightmare.
That's the thing, though. It didn't feel like a three-way story to me. I felt it should have felt like three separate narratives weaving in with one another. But from the second Michael meets Franklin, it's now one story and there's nothing really to distinguish them from one another, you know, especially with Franklin, because like you said, they just dropped him and focused entirely on Michael and Trevor. And after a while, it just felt like it was focusing on Trevor. And whose
your dog,
dog
agrees.
Is, yeah.
And whose dog
that
is
the neighbor's dog?
Dog.
There, that is the neighbor's dog. And this mic is so good that it just kind of picks everything up.
Oh,
so I wasn't thinking you guys could hear that. But, you know, it's the neighbor. Like, she's shouting at the dog, and the dog's barking back at her.
All right, what about you guys? What are your picks of the
Game
of the Year?
Go, Ryan.
Me? Well, actually, Last of Us is also my game of the year, but I'll go with my runner-up just because Diana pretty much said everything that I loved about it, and I don't want to be redundant. So,
all right.
But my runner-up for game of the year was Animal Crossing New Leaf on 3DS,
which I just started playing.
And, and I think I picked it really because, like, I think, like, I'm not usually a person that goes back to play a game. Like, usually, kind of once I finish a game, I kind of just, you know, I move on to the next thing, sort of. But Animal Crossing just kept me hooked, like, throughout the entire year. And I think for me, it just kind of was, like, what I want out of 3DS games. It's, like, something that I can just, like, it was so easy to just fall back into. And just, like, every time I played it, I felt rewarded. Like, every time I played it, I was getting something out of it. And I was, like, whether it was, like, improving my town or, like, getting new clothes or, you know, whatever. Like, every time I went was worthwhile. And that's kind of what kept me playing it, you know, all throughout the year. Because pretty much when I got it in June, I didn't stop playing it until, like, last week. Like, I've been playing it this entire year, so that's really what kind of kept me playing it. And my only other 3DS game I had on my list was Legend of Zelda: Link Between Worlds, but Animal Crossing I just love the hell out of, so that was really, you know, why I put it on my list as well. So
you picked it because it's like heroin, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, you'll find out soon enough as you get into it. But, like, really, Animal Crossing was just so great because it was just, like, you know,
okay.
I could always just pick up and play it and have fun. And, you know, it was a game that encouraged me to keep my 3DS around with me. Like, you know, whether other people were playing it or, like, I get street passes or content or whatever. So that was, you know, kind of my reason that I picked it.
I've had a 3DS for 2 weeks now, and for some reason street passes – no, I'm sorry, I've had, like, a week. But street passes are – the most fascinating thing to me, just the fact that someone was near me with a 3DS and now they have my me and I have theirs. That I don't know why that fascinates me so much.
Yeah, yeah, like Animal Crossing, even just the 3DS.
Yeah,
that's kind of like what encourages me to keep it around. Is like even if I'm not gonna play it, like I just bring it with me just in case I get street passes or if I get anything for Animal Crossing or the other games I'm playing. So
yeah,
that's kind of what ties it together.
Dude, you could get really like obsessed with that mini game in there. Where you have to like rescue yourself.
Find me. Yep.
Ah.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yeah, but Animal Crossing was, you know, like kind of my runner-up to Last of Us, but it was close between those two.
And Ryan, so you're basically saying that once I play more of this game, it's going to be like between you and I, like the lemon scene from The Wolf of Wall Street, basically?
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen Wolf Among Us yet. Or,
Wolf Among Us.
Wolf of Wall Street yet, so.
Oh, I thought you saw it.
See.
Oh, man.
No, I was going to try and go today, but I didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, that's not a movie I would watch.
When you see the...
There's no robots in it.
When you see the lemon scene, think of you telling me about Animal Crossing. Because that's exactly what I thought of.
Okay.
And Diana got it right away, so I'm glad.
Yeah.
George, it's your game.
Oh, that movie. Oh,
I know, it's amazing.
Okay, what do you want? The game of the year or the runner-ups? Because
game of the
either.
Year first, motherfucker.
Both, man.
All right, for my game of the year, I did not go with BioShock or The Last
Wait,
of Us.
Can I guess?
Sure, guess.
Papers, Please.
No, it is in my top three. If we're doing a runner-up, I put it right in the middle.
Okay,
any Xbox One exclusive.
Right.
Oh,
Gone
man.
Home.
No, if we were doing a top five or top ten, Gone Home would definitely be on that list.
My roommate, Stanley Parable?
I was really hoping. Oh, wait,
same thing as Gone Home. Would have made it on the list.
So no, okay. So the thing is, we're trying to establish is
mine's going to be a surprise. Goddammit.
Well, that's the thing. I was thinking you were going to go with like the indie snob selection, but
if it was a bigger list, I would have put a bunch of those really good indie games because there are a lot of great ones this year, like The Stanley Parable or Gone Home, or I just recently finished Brothers. A Tale of Sons, which is such a heartbreaking game, but it's
Is really it? Good. I'm so excited for to go to PlayStation Plus. I'm totally
yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited to play it.
Everyone should play Brothers, but not my game of the year. My game of the year, I went through one criteria, is the game I could not stop thinking about. Like, when I finished playing it, I was like, God damn it, why am I not playing more?
GTA 5.
No, ew, God. No, I went with the great surprise of 2013 was Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
Oh!
I was thinking about that earlier today.
Anna knows, because me and Anna were on the same boat about Assassin's Creed Ubisoft. We're like, Assassin's Creed is a sinking ship, and everyone on that ship deserves to die.
No one matches Diana's hatred for Assassin's Creed prior to no one matches that.
This is very true. However,
I was in that same position. I mean, I played Assassin's Creed 4. I told you, I thought the Indian and the American Revolution type, this is a great premise, but your main character Forrest Gumps his way through all of the single player, where it's just, he's just in the Senate hall, just kind of hanging out, like, hey, there's a 9-foot Indian here, should we even address the fact that he's here? He's got a mohawk and war paint, is he going to kill us all? No, he's just hanging out. No, they're like super progressive, it's just like, not even being a racist, someone should just acknowledge there's a big scary person in the room. But no.
Yeah.
The only person not wearing a powdered wig is there. Yeah, with a tomahawk, who probably still has blood on him. I swore off Assassin's Creed once I finished that game, because I'm like, this is hot trash. I don't want any part of this.
Hot stinky trash.
Yeah, and then like a fool, the new Assassin's Creed came out, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'll get it.
You joined the hype machine.
Yeah, and I figured I'll play it, and then I'll just re-hate the game again.
Yeah.
No, I really like it. They addressed all the issues I had with an Assassin's Creed game, was immediately dismissing the god-awful story.
Well, pretty much you're saying...
About the one in the modern age, right?
Oh, wait. Can I clarify something? Are you referring to basically how every Assassin's Creed game has a story, and they always have to shoehorn in why he's an assassin and joining the Creed and all that fucking shit?
Yeah, well, the fact that gets shoehorned in is that, the fact of, like, oh, you know, you're gathering these ancient artifacts for this ancient race of aliens who may or may not destroy the universe, and, oh, let's fast forward to the future because he's, like, the one. And, no, I didn't need any of that. I don't want any of that. Yeah, Desmond is fucking gone. That's the first thing they tell you. It's like, this dude is dead. You see a scene where there's just dead body, and it's like, well, what do we do with him? Well, let's just, take parts of him and experiment and make video games. And that's what you're doing. You're beta testing a pirate game used from Desmond's memories.
Yes.
Which is perfect. As soon as I saw that happen, I laughed, and I was like, thank you, Assassin's Creed. You did all the right things.
You know, I'm going to have to say that after... I'm going to agree with you on this one, George. This game, Assassin's Creed 4,
it surprised me.
Right, I agree with you on that. Very, very much surprised me. You know what had me? You know what got me? When
the sea shanties.
When the guy.
The sea shanties are the shit.
I always love sea shanties. Sea shanties,
I hate collectibles.
In general. I've always
loved... Whenever I saw a flying music note, I was like, oh, I need that because I need to know what other song this is.
Yeah, sea shanties in general are just awesome. I can send you a book on them, dude. But like, my favorite part was where I knew that I was like, oh, this game gets my experience. Is when the main character is pillaging the assassin's corpse.
Yes.
And he takes the blade, the wrist blade, and just fucking looks at it and is like, fuck this, and throws it in the garbage.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. You said
it's yeah. Wow. Yeah.
This is in like the first 15 minutes of the game.
That's immediate. It sells you on the game, and it's almost like the game saying, I'm sorry. To you.
Yes.
Because he's like, because the first thing you do, you come across an assassin, he kills him, and Edward's like, well, I'm just going to take his shit. And I'm like, whoa, okay. All right, now we're on this. And then you're posing as an assassin because he thinks there's going to be money involved. And Edward's motivation through most of the game is that A, he's an asshole, and B, he wants lots of money because he's a fucking pirate.
It is funny that Edward's like the most flippant like Assassin's Creed character ever. Yeah. He just doesn't give like a fuck about any of the Assassin's Creed stuff in it.
Yeah, and it's just great because he has the same reaction. Same reaction as soon as they start talking about like, oh, we need to find this ancient observatory. He's like, oh, Christ, really? Like, is there any money involved in this? And he's like, I guess. And then once he finds out what the thing actually does, he's like, oh, my God. He goes, I'm going to be fucking rich. Yeah. And that's his motivation through. He'll just, you know, he'll change sides whenever he wants to. As soon as things get heavy, he's like, you guys deal with that. I'm going to go over here. Fuck you.
He throws the wrist blade out the assassin's
blade. Or the best part is when he tries to join the Templars, they give him wrist blades and it's like, oh man, I love when you assassins do that like high flying assassination. Could you do that for us? And he's like, yeah, sure, why not? And he's doing all the assassin moves and it's like, oh, I really love when you guys do that running assassination when you take down two people. You should do that right now. And he's like, oh, okay, great. And
he's just figuring it out.
Yeah, you're just there. And he's like, you know what? This is how you should play an Assassin's Creed game. None of this bullshit makes any sense. And the fact that they're saying that, like, oh, you're beta testing a video game, that might explain why he's so good at everything. And that's really all that was all the justification I needed. That was all the kind of the hand-waving I needed to justify the fact that he can climb everything. He's so good at killing hundreds of people at a time. He's like, oh, yeah, we've changed some things. We've messed with reality. Or, like, when you find a landmark and you read the notes, it's like, well, this chapel didn't really exist in Havana, Cuba. Our artist just thought it would look cool. Wow. And I'm like, that's great. And that's all I needed for Assassin's Creed 4. And then the actual game itself, just sailing on your ship. I had it on Xbox One, so it was, like, very little load times. And just when you do that, like, that super speed where the camera just kind of pans out and you're just kind of watching your customized ship just sail, and then they start singing, and I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, did they make Sid Meier's Pirates in an Assassin's Creed game? And I'm like, they did. And yeah, I had some issues. Like, towards the end of the game, things get a little, like, repetitious. Like, you know, I stopped boarding ships. So I was like, you know what? I don't need any more wood. I'm just going to sink everything I run into. Like, I stopped looting. I was just like, you know, just you're in the way. I need to kill you, all right? I need to get through whatever dumb thing assassins have to do, and it was good.
About tracking people, didn't you find that annoying? That got annoying to me at points. Like, really have to track another person?
Yeah,
really?
I mean, they're at its core, it's still got some Assassin's Creed problems. Like, I hate all eavesdropping missions, even though they did get a little bit easier, and they do give you some leeway where it's like, eh, you can be further out, and you don't, you know, all you have to do is break
too, apparently.
Yeah, and all you have to do is break line of sight, and it's like, all right, fine, I can deal with this. But
he's trying to do a she shanty.
Yeah, but no, it was a great game.
Well, he heard that, Ryan.
And it was one of those games I just kept thinking about, and like I thought about it as much as I thought about the ending of Brothers or like the ending of Last of Us, or I really love the Stanley Parable, and I still think about the Stanley Parable, but then I immediately start thinking about Assassin's Creed. And I'm like, you know what, that counts as my game of the year. It's like, I don't go by, you know, what had the highest score. I go, what did I have the most fun with, whether it be in and out of the game. Like, love talking about Assassin's Creed and Stanley Parable and, you know, like, Last of Us more than I did probably playing them. And to me, I think that counts as, like, a game of the year. Like, I can, you know, we can talk about that Bioshock Infinite ending. I'm like, Infinite Universe is like, oh my god, that's insane. But that's a great discussion, and to me, that's what counts as, like, the experiences that stand out. Like, yeah, I can talk about how I thought DMC was a great game this year, or Tomb Raider, the two reboots, which I was going to share as my number three.
Tomb Raider.
I thought those were incredible ways to reboot franchises.
Tomb Raider especially, because I never gave a fuck about Tomb Raider until March 5th, 2013.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, man. Now, see, it was different. I've been a fan of Tomb Raider since the first one came out on the Sega Saturn, so just to see the way she got reinvented was amazing to me. But yeah, when Assassin's Creed 4, that was actually kind of my surprise of the year, and it's weird because Diane, I'm the opposite.
Nice
I absolutely
segue, Tony.
Love fucking Assassin's Creed. Ooh, I love it, love it, love it. But Assassin's Creed 3 burned me out. I'm like, okay, you have Connor. Connor is, on paper, the most interesting character.
He is.
Okay,
he is.
Just but they
paper.
Made him super dull. Every time he opened his mouth, I'm
that's
like,
why
hey,
he's
stop
a paper, on paper. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All
right. Yeah, that's remember. I'm sorry. I said it on paper. Okay, think about
Vietnam
it.
Vietnam memories. Like, it was like the car backfire. I was like, I was back in the war again. I'm sorry.
he's a man of two worlds, right? You know, he's fighting during the American Revolution. All this shit on paper sounds awesome, but the way he was presented was so fucking boring. It's like, really, he has like, okay, his dad is a fucking Templar. You don't even emphasize that point. He meets him for one mission. It's like, hey, dad, you suck. Let's do a mission together. It's like, dude, you can't even emphasize this more? This is some big shit here. They just treat it wrong. So I was kind of burned on the
like
series.
Kirk and
even when this
working
one got,
together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
So when Assassin's Creed 4 was in, I was like, "Oh, it's a pirate game." I'm like, "Okay." The best thing for Assassin's Creed 3 was the naval missions. I love those. I'm like, "Ooh, we get a whole game of that. That might be cool."
Well, that's what they pretty much much did. They took they were like, oh, that's what people liked about it. Let's make Assassin's Creed 4 about pirates.
Yeah, so that's why it was like a surprise, because I mean, I knew I was gonna like it. It's Assassin's Creed. I'm gonna like it regardless. But I had so much fun with this game. I couldn't stop playing it. And I actually got my first PlayStation 4 Platinum playing that fucking game. Got every single little thing in it. I loved it. I was talking about it. That's my surprise of the year. I was not expecting that. Runner-up surprise, Splinter Cell Blacklist. That's a great game too.
That's also a really good game. My issues were like out of game issues, where I got it through the Ubisoft store, so my game just never worked. Or it lost my progression at least 3 times, where it's like, hey, why am I doing the first mission again? It goes like, oh right, because it auto saves whenever the fuck it wants.
Yeah, that's not good.
That was not fun. Don't buy anything through the Ubisoft store, guys. That's the moral of the story for 2013.
Yeah, pretty much.
I have not played Blacklist yet, but I did take issue with the fact that I kept thinking it was Commander Shepard, because he looks just like him. Sorry. But yeah, Tony, that was a nice segue there. Because one of the topics we're going to talk about tonight is, what is your biggest surprise this year? Like, what was the game you played that you just... I mean... George, you pretty much said, like, Assassin's Creed 4, you went in ready to just hate the fucking thing, basically. That was, like, your biggest surprise. So, like, Diana, Ryan, what was a surprise you had this year? A game that you played, and all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, I'm in love with this game, and I had no idea that I was going to like it. There had to be one.
Thinking.
Can it be the other way around? Like a game we were playing and we were like, oh man, this sucks.
But that happens much more.
There's a lot of those this
that
year.
Happens much more.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
That's a 3-hour podcast right there.
You know, for me, I have to say it was Rezogun.
Rezogun.
You know,
that's a good game.
Yes, yeah, fucking great game. Yeah. It was a surprise for me because it's like, you know, it's the game that comes out with the launch. It's a launch title,
mm-hmm.
right? It comes out with your, you know, with the PlayStation 4. You expect it to be. Let me tell you first. I played Contrast first. Okay, so
that's another good game.
Really?
That pause said so much.
Uh-oh.
I've never rage quit before. And that game made me rage quit.
Really?
I heard apparently they might have fixed the bugs, but the first week, 2 weeks, it was unplayable.
It looked really
good. It was
good,
just
too.
Unplayable.
I remember when that story came out, like, oh, they fixed all the bugs in Contrast. I'm like, there were bugs in Contrast? I never experienced
oh
a single one of them.
Dude. I went through like a whole section. I went through a whole fucking section, and I hit a bug. I was stuck in a wall, man. I couldn't go anywhere. I was just stuck.
That's
I couldn't
crazy.
Go. And so I was like, well, you know.
I got lucky.
I was like, I tried to get out. I tried to jump. I tried to do everything possible. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I guess does this. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if this game, saves as you go along. No, obviously it doesn't, because when I hit reset, like when I had to hit reset, when I reset out of the game, it took me all the way back. So I lost, like, no joke, 2 hours.
That's
of
crazy.
Gaming. And I was like, fuck this. And I put it down, and I said, I'm not picking it up again. I didn't set it on fire because it's a digital download.
You metaphorically set it on fire.
But that's the game I played. That was the first game I played on the PS4, and I was like, well, if this is how we're
that's
going.
Not a good start.
It's not a very good start, if to ask you. To be honest with you. So then I played Rezogun, to get to my point. And Rezogun was addicting. I sat there, and I played this son of a bitch for like 5 hours.
Oh, you just weren't blinking, your
just
eyes
playing
glazed
it over,
over
and over and over and over and over again.
Just sat in the same spot, didn't move.
Same spot, man. Same spot.
Yeah, that game is hard as shit, too, man.
It's hard once you get to those higher levels. And the beauty about it, what I really, really appreciate it, really appreciate, is that if you beat a level, like you beat like a section of it, it doesn't take you all the way to the beginning if you turn off the system. So like, let's say I beat the first level on like Master or something. And
oh,
I was like, and after I well, you know, whatever. This is me brushing shit off my shoulder right now. And so I beat like the first level of Master, and then I tried to get to the second level of Master, and I was like, "Fuck this!" And I turned it off, and I was like, "No, wait a minute. And I turned it back on again, and it still kept me. It saved my game and kept me at the second level of Master.
Next generation
of video
games.
It's a consistent thing, so it's not like you lose your progress. Dude, man, it's fucking awesome. I love it. I love it. But that was my surprise of the year. Resogun.
Nice.
Ryan?
For me, I think it was between two games. So the first one for me was Tomb Raider, because I didn't really care much about the original Tomb Raider series much. Yeah. Like, I only played like a little bit of the original Tomb Raider when I was a kid, and then I just didn't really play a whole lot of the other games. And I think I was skeptical kind of too, because everyone was kind of making the jokes about Tomb Raider, like Uncharted, you know, making comparisons between it and the Uncharted series. But when I played it, you know, I really enjoyed it, and I found, you know, I found a lot to care about, I think, from the series, and enough that to make it different from Uncharted and still, you know, made it really fun, and I liked it a lot. So that really took me by surprise. And then the other one that I really enjoyed too was The Walking Dead 400 Days. That was one I guess I was a little apprehensive about it just because season one was so good, and, you know, I was kind of worried that, like, you know, with this downloadable episode, it might, you know, it might take away from that or whatever. But I think just, you know, even though 400 Days is really short, it was only like an hour and a half, 2 hours like the other episodes, you know, the fact that they were still able to make me care about these characters that they were only introducing, like, in this episode, you know, potentially for the second season was still great, and I really enjoyed it a lot, you know, a lot more than I was expecting. So those were kind of the two that kind of came to mind for me as surprises from this year.
I definitely agree with 400 Days. I was wary of it just because it was kind of like this random episode in the middle of season one and season two. Wolf Among Us was coming out. I still had like a bit of a sour taste in my mouth from Harley Quinn's Revenge, and I've been wary of DLC that comes out like months after, just way after the fact. But yeah, like that was really good. But I think the big surprise for me, and only because I can't think of anything else right now, would have to be Super Mario 3D World. I'm not as jaded towards Mario as a lot of people are. I enjoy a lot of his games, but just seeing how it was basically a console version of the handheld game, I was a little skeptical. And it turned out to be like the best Mario game I've played since Galaxy. Like it was amazing. Cool.
So your biggest surprise is Nintendo remembered to release games.
Yes. Yes. Also, and I was also going to say Papers, Please.
I knew you were going to say
that. Yeah. Because that was just another game that I didn't know anything about, and Jorge was just like randomly, yeah, you should play this. And I played it, and that's a game that was so minimal, I was hooked for months, like on some Animal Crossing Ryan level. Like, I was hooked. And
yep.
I was doing the same thing over and over, but it's really, really good. It's really fun. Yeah. All right. I'm going to move on. So
anticipated games.
Yeah.
See, I read the show notes.
I know, and me, the dumbass, was like, "Wait, where's the tab? Fuck."
What?
So yeah, in terms of games that were kind of like announced this year,
we have an agenda. That I think that's the funniest part.
Wait, what?
It's funny that we have an agenda. We usually never hit it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's go off the rails all the time. So games that were announced this year, it doesn't matter if it's coming out in 2015, 16, or it's fucking vaporware, I don't give a shit. But just like, what is it you're looking forward to going forward? Damn, that was redundant. I'm going to start off. If you had asked me this question in June, I would have told you Mirror's Edge 2. Because that was a game that just the mere thought of I was fapping to, because I love the first one. Now, I'm not so sure. I'm a big sci-fi fan, and I am a Star Wars fan, not so much a Star Trek. But when they announced that DICE was working on
Battlefront,
yeah. Now, okay, in the wake of Battlefield 4, I'm like, I don't know. but let's see, pre-Battlefield 4, just the thought of Battlefield, like Battlefield 3 or whatever the good Battlefield is, because I've only played a couple of them. But this massive first-person shooter with vehicles, and you just substitute that with Stormtroopers and Star Wars vehicles and space. You like, that's it. Like, you've got me.
Yeah.
So I definitely think Battlefront or Mirror's Edge 2. I'm not sure. We haven't heard enough of the former, the latter.
Yeah. Well, Battlefront's still a while away. Like, that's at least a year or two away.
They're saying 2015.
They're
probably going to delay it until the movie comes out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just the Star Wars license with EA making these games, EA gets a really bad rap that people say it's the devil, yeah. But the fact of the matter is that they do have a lot of people with sci-fi experience in terms of the Mass Effect team. They have Casey Hudson working on Star Wars, and then you have DICE working on Battlefront. So I'm curious just to see what they're going to bring out. What about you guys? What are you looking forward to?
All of March.
Oh, yes. Can you run down March again, please?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Who's got the list? Because I think March
I'll go for it. And
March,
just fill
is,
it.
March yeah. is this justification for a next-gen system.
Yeah, help That's you the know, perfect way to put fill it. In whatever I missed. Okay, so we got Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zeroes.
Which I had no Dark idea was Souls coming 2. Out, by the way, in March.
Now you know. And knowing is how you battle. Joe. All right, so Metal Gear, Infamous, Second Son, Dead Rising, Dark Souls 2. What else? The FF10 HD.
Oh,
coming
hell
out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm getting that.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what yeah, totally forgot about that. You guys told me.
Oh, I'm getting HD. I'm getting that. Oh, my God.
But yeah, I mean, still, that's four games. That's like, come on, guys. You can't spread this shit out over the... We have an entire year. Let's spread this shit out, you know? Did I miss anything? I think there's one more game
Titanfall.
In there.
Did you get Titanfall? You got Titanfall, right?
Titanfall. No, I forgot about Titanfall. I don't have an Xbox, so I don't give a shit. So Titanfall. That's five games, essentially. It's like, what the fuck? Okay, for most anticipated game, I'm going to leave Metal Gear out of it because that's just a given fucking answer. Metal Gear, I absolutely love it. I'm going to go with Dragon Age Inquisition.
Ooh, you got mine. Game. I was thinking about that, too.
Yeah, man, I'm such a big fan of this series. And yeah, part two was a bit of a letdown, but I still liked it for what it was. I like the fact that it's going to be this gigantic open world. It's going to be on next-gen systems. And I really think that BioWare listened to the negative feedback of the last game that are going to give us something that we really, really want. So that's definitely my most anticipated game of next year. There's a bunch of shit, obviously, like down the future, Final Fantasy 15, because Final Fantasy, oh my God. Yeah, so that's my answer.
Witcher 3.
Oh, yeah, why?
Because I think Witcher 3 does... I think it's an RPG that does moral choices in a way that isn't black and white. Like, there's no... doesn't have a good or evil scale, or there's no... this is your blue choice,
just,
this is your red choice.
Just say it's not Renegade and not
fucked
Paragon.
Up choice.
Just say it.
Yeah, don't do it. Stop saying it. Like, that's gross. Like, ugh. Or like Fable, this is your good, this is your evil. I'm like, oh, I don't... don't give me this binary kind of bullshit. It's like, yeah... because when you do that, you force the player to just go, I guess I have to go all evil or all good, because there's no such thing as like a hybrid way to play.
Can I just do a random segue, George?
Sure.
That's what I love about The Walking Dead's choices. I don't know what the fuck I'm picking. I don't know if I'm picking good, bad, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I like those red herrings in Walking Dead where it's like you do something, I was like, oh, well, so-and-so will remember that. And then literally the next 10 minutes, so-and-so is dead. And you're like, oh, well, that fucking choice didn't even matter.
Yeah.
Fucking how dare you stressed me out for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, those are my favorite moments of the Walking Dead games. But no, Witcher, I think it's probably the most ambitious thing I'm looking at for next year, especially when you saw the last kind of like, I guess that VGX trailer where he's like, wait, is Geralt in a fucking boat? Is this Wind Waker all of a sudden? And just him walking through a field and, you know, he does what his job is supposed to do is he fucking hunts monsters. So there seems to be a lot of that going on, and just he's being chased by ghosts or some bullshit. And I'm like, all right, I'm in. Let's do it. Let's have really graphic sex scenes and make awful decisions. Yeah, right? Let's do fucking Witcher penis. Let's go for it, man. 2014, let's live a little. But yeah, Witcher
3. My runners-up right there. Witcher 3 looks fucking amazing.
And that's another game that's going to come out on, you know, next-gen consoles. And I was like, hey, you know what? Let's see what, you know, yeah, obviously the PC version is going to be the superior version, but it's like, you know what? Let's see what a next-gen port would look like.
Definitely.
Because to me, that's a big telling point to see whether the Xbox One or the PS4 really has those chops that they've been kind of like, hey, we've got cloud computing. Well, we've got more RAM, you asshole. It's like, all right, well, how well can either of you run Witcher 2? And then brag about it. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, Witcher 2, Witcher 3. I'm pretty sure they run Witcher 2 just fine. But
We shall see.
But yeah, Witcher 3, let's do it.
Yeah.
Robots, motherfucker.
That's true. You can honestly wait until March to get a next-gen console. You can even wait. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling people you can wait till 2015 because then you'll have a lot to choose from.
But, I mean, but we're just early adopting scumbags, and we're just like, no, we need them now. You don't get it. Like, yeah, we'll go through a December and January with no games. It's fine. It's just,
yeah, pretty much.
We have our shiny. I can hit, like, I watch TV and my thing. I can care less. All right, yeah. I'm good.
I'm playing Marvel, the Lego Marvel games, which is fun.
Oh, yeah, I heard good things about that one. I should probably get that.
Mm-hmm. Granted, I mean, it's on every single system, but, you know, it's keeping me busy on my PS4, even though it's like a waste of resources. But I refuse to touch Contrast. I refuse to touch Contrast. Refuse. Well,
I've got all those Xbox Fitness videos to look at, so I could do
Oh, my God.
I actually did try, if we're going to sidestep a little bit here. I tried they have like a P90X video there, which is basically the 1999-2000 P90X videos, except on the bottom corner is just your silhouette because you're in front of the camera looking like a jerk, and it's scanning all your body heats. Yeah, so you imagine me trying to do that, and it's just like, hey, your pulse is really high. Maybe you should slow down a bit.
No! I must
I need to Zumba, Christ. But yeah, that's weird. I was like, this is like a whole new niche that I was not even aware could be a thing, because it's like they give you...
P90X is awesome, man.
Well, yeah, but you've got like 30 different workout tapes from, like, you know, you have Jillian Michaels, you have some other assholes I don't know, and it's like, hey, do 10-minute abs, and... Literally, the Xbox is looking at you saying, your form is all fucked, George. Just go for a run. You need to not do this anymore.
The NSA is
Jorge's watching. Game of the Year, Xbox Fitness. So.
Yeah, I said it. Xbox Fitness.
For your consideration.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, what are you looking forward to?
So my obvious straightaway answer is Smash Brothers, because Smash Brothers is my jam. Right. But aside from that, there are two games I'm looking forward to, which is Infamous Second Son for PS4. I don't have a PS4 yet, but that's the game that if I buy a new next-gen console, that will make me buy one, because Infamous has always been kind of my favorite Sony series. And in particular, I just think that, like, I think if any game's going to show off, like, how the PS4 can do, it'll be that. Like, that'll be one of them. And then other than that is the Game of Thrones Telltale series.
I was going to say that. You beat me to it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that just because, you know, it seems like a perfect fit for Telltale with that franchise in particular. I mean, the bar is set pretty low because the Atlas Game of Thrones game was so shitty, but...
Yeah, really?
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. My only worry about that is that Telltale's doing too much, and that's, you know...
Well...
It's
funny you should say that. They actually talked about that recently. And basically what they said is they're going to finish Wolf Among Us and Walking Dead first before they head to Game of Thrones and Borderlands.
Good.
That's good. So, yeah.
But I was actually going to say a runner-up anticipated thing is just Telltale in general, because I like the projects that they're taking on, and I like how they're kind of thinking outside the box by taking Borderlands, and we talked about this before. Borderlands, first-person shooter, RPG, whatever, where you just give a shit about looting, and they're turning that into an adventure game. Like, these guys make games that make people cry, and they're taking on Borderlands. So
I think it's a good challenge. Make me give a shit about this world I don't give a shit about. Yeah. And it's like, all right, great, let's do it. Challenge accepted, scumbag.
Yeah, those are pretty much my picks. Smash Brothers I'm going to buy the minute it comes out. But, yeah, the other two games, Infamous and Game of Thrones, are kind of what I'm looking forward to next year as well.
Yeah. Is 2014 the year that Diana buys a Wii U? That's what I'm curious about.
Is 2015 the year I buy a Wii U?
Yeah, exactly. Same here. When will that happen?
I don't think I will be buying a Wii U. I think my boyfriend has one, so I think I shall be happy with that instead. And even then, I don't think I shall be playing the Wii U. Unless, so you know, to play that Mario game that everybody's talking about.
Okay, you were there. You were loving every minute of it, the 3D World game. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's fun. I'm not saying it's bad.
I mean, that looks like maybe price cut territory is maybe I'll consider buying it because now the Wii has, you know, it wasn't like last year where it's like, hey, the Wii U. I'm like, oh, where are the games? And it's like, no, it's the Wii U. And I'm like, oh, you're an ass. but now that there's like an actual library, you know, surprisingly, there's a library right now. So yeah, maybe around when Smash Brothers comes out, that's maybe when I'll consider picking up a Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's, I've got other shit to do.
Yeah. I have no plans to get a Wii U at all. Just saying.
Just throwing it out there.
Have you played 3D World, though?
I played 3D Land.
No, 3D World is... Because I played 3D Land for the first time, like, 2 days ago. And it is nothing like World, and World is nothing like Land, except for, like, one or two things.
No, World looks cool, but it's like, there's not enough games on that thing for me to just get the damn system.
Yeah, to justify it. Yeah.
Next year, though.
Next year.
Smash Brothers, you'll have two games to justify.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's always next year. Yeah.
I will say this. I'm
not exactly a fan of Smash Brothers, so whatever.
I probably at some point will own an Xbox One. I will say this. Maybe like down the line. Maybe like in the summer or something like that.
If I could, if I could make it happen, I'd have one pre-ordered for Titanfall.
Yeah.
Or rather,
I can see that.
Titanfall looks
good. Yeah, I think next year, I think both consoles will have, you know, their exclusives to the point where it's like, all right, I can kind of, like, I can make the argument where I should get both.
They're must-haves.
Yeah.
And I think Titanfall and Second Son, I think those are going to be the games where people are like, all right, I guess it's time for me to see if I still pre-order it or not. But I don't know. I think next year is going to be a good year. A lot of good stuff. Like, I'm kind of curious to see what all that Oculus Rift looks like, because I think the retail version comes out next year at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And full HD, and I was like, "Oh man, I really want to throw up." So let's get that.
Yeah, I tried that at Comic-Con. It's kind of weird, the Oculus Rift.
Mm. Well, I'm thinking more of like, you know, the cool kind of like indie horror games that'll come out on that, where it's like, you know, if there's something on screen you don't like, you can always look away. But when you have the Rift on, you're still trapped in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm a fan of that. I think you're gonna see some really cool trippy games on there. And I don't know. It's something new and weird that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. I think my three games, I'm like looking at a list here. I think definitely my number one game is Dragon Age because...
I was waiting for that, Diane. I was going to be surprised if you didn't say that.
Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. It's Dragon Age. I'm going to fight you tooth and limb for that. So that's definitely one. The second one is actually not a AAA title. It's the Banner Saga.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. I'm loving that game.
New Jorge chime in.
I've been watching
playing the multiplayer. It's really good.
2 years. Like 2 years now, man. It's like waiting for that. So that'll be fun. And then I don't know what the third game is going to be. I have no idea. Probably South Park Stick of Truth.
Yeah, that needs to be mentioned. That looks really good.
Yeah. I'm excited for it because I'm a huge South Park fan, but I'm starting to get a little worried by the stuff that's being previewed, and I'm hoping it's not all dick and fart jokes.
I think the last trailer they had, I'm like they're going in a little bit with the shit powers or whatever the hell it was. Like everything was like
the fart magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's a little too much. Like that's not what South Park is about. So who's ever cutting the videos up is like really really turning like a big fan like me off. Yeah. So
I think the one thing though that you can take solace in is that Matt,
it's going to come out.
That too. But Trey and Matt are still very involved, like, in the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm sure there's probably a lot more than what we've... I mean, the thing is, we haven't really been shown that much. It's been, like, what, a total of 4 trailers, I think?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we haven't seen that
and
much.
They're all... And 2 of them are kind of the same thing being, like, sort of cut together from the same clips. Yeah. That's about it for me, really.
Right. Well, we're gonna have to wrap this up in a little bit. We have one more very general topic, and I mean, you know, you guys can feel free if there's anything you kind of have on your mind in terms of the industry. Also, whoever is breathing into their mic, I will find out who you are and beat you where you stand. I totally forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're talking about things you were anticipating for the game industry next year?
That's the thing. I totally forgot what it was. I should have written it down.
You got your thing.
I should have written it down.
I got one.
Go ahead.
Maybe I'll help you. Maybe it's somebody we were talking before. Does anyone have a favorite piece of news from 2013 that they want to relive or talk about or... Because I can think of two that really got the DualShockers cast really fucking going nuts.
Mine's the complete opposite, George, because you kind of reminded me.
Oh.
No, mine was I really just want, like, going forward into 2014 and beyond, I really want this industry to stop focusing on just, like, the negative stuff. Because there were too many times this year where I would log on, I would go on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and there would be some stupid controversy that couldn't even... That wasn't even near the definition of the word controversy. That people were just...
Wait, was it a non-troversy?
I've never heard that word before.
No, now you know. It's a non-troversy.
Well, Tony just invented it. Trademark it, Tony.
I said it. It's done. Bam. It's done.
Yeah.
Bam.
But, that. Like, that's one thing I really... Like, 2014 should be the year of the industry not complaining about stupid shit. And
this is true.
I agree though that actually broke that down. Stop, gamers need to stop bitching and everybody else needs to stop bitching. It's too much.
And the thing is, it's honestly it's most of the time it wasn't gamers, it was the people that are that are in our field that I would see making the journalists things. And especially because that, and also the other thing I see too much of is snark. And that's one thing I think everyone should make a resolution to not have so much of that, because it's gotten way out of hand.
Can you explain?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, I know what you mean, but I mean, for anybody who's listening, like, what do you mean?
I announce this new game coming out next year, and immediately the feedback is, well, that looks stupid. I'll never play it. This guy's an asshole. He should die in a car fire. Like, just, I guess, the immediate dismissal of maybe new ideas.
Overall dismissal.
Yeah, just overall dismissal, reviews, or just kind of prejudging things that come out.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, it's like...
Tomb Raider? What? Who said that?
Yeah, fucking Tomb Raider. Yeah, that's a big one.
Or Devil May Cry. I would say Devil May Cry also. He's Dante doesn't have white hair anymore. This game fucking sucks!
Yeah.
I'm going to send him death threats. I was like, really? Like, that was important to you. Huh.
For me, though, it's also things like when I read reviews and I see, like, prominent writers using words like lazy to describe a game or calling it, like, a cash grab, stuff like that. Little things like that kind of bother me because I'm not, like nobody knows who I am in this thing, and I've been doing it for close to 2 years. I've been to E3 and to PAX, whatever. I've met these developers, and these are regular people who are just going to work and trying to make a game, and we have writers out there that are calling them lazy and, you know, making it seem like
just to get those clicks.
Yeah, and calling their games...
I think lazy is a genuine critique. I mean, I think the problem with some people is they're aiming their fury at maybe the wrong people. Mm. Where, you know, get into a situation maybe like Forza and people are like, these microtransactions are fucking out of their mind. And I was like, well, I don't think it was the Forza team's idea to charge $60 for cars. It seems more of like a publisher
thing.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, I don't think a lazy is a good word to use when you critique someone's game, because I don't picture developer. First of all, these are the same people that will get mad about the amount of hours that these developers have to work, and then they'll turn on and they'll say, well, this game is lazy, or the development was lazy. I'm sorry, just that one word I wish could be exercised from game critique. I think there are things that we see in games that maybe could have, you know, been given like more once-overs or more revisions. But I would never – I don't think I've ever called anything lazy before when I've reviewed a game. It just seems weird to me because I've met the same people that these people have met. And, you know, and it's, we've made a big deal in this industry about, you know, how strenuous the conditions are to make these games. So, honestly, I'm really just fixated on the use of that one word. I hate it. I want it to go away.
So no lazy in 2014.
Please,
I can dig
please
it.
No. Please no. But yeah, no. It stems from what I was talking about earlier. Diana, sorry, totally segued. But from just the snarkiness that I've seen. And what I was going to say is, for those that are unaware, in my opinion, it stems from just like there's a lot of personas out there that they thrive off of negativity because it gets the fanboys riled up and that gets them a lot of hits. And it stems from just trashing everything, just unmitigated trashing of games. But yet at the same time, they want to be, you know, they want
to take it seriously.
Yeah. Video games are art, but this thing fucking sucks and it's lazy and it's cash grab. Shut up. So, basically, yeah. Does anybody else have anything just looking ahead they want to add?
I think for 2014, I think people should be open-minded about just new and weird games. Because if you don't, you'll miss out on like great games like Brothers or The Stan Lee Parable or like Rogue Legacy, which now that I think about it, that really should have been my number one. But Rogue Legacy, you know, great game. A lot of these cool indies, and I think it's perfect for people who are just like, I'm so sick of these Call of Duties and Ubisoft, more like Assassin's Creed Factory. Like, if that's your attitude about the games industry, then really you're not looking at it as a whole, because it's like there are other avenues you can go to if you are sick of like what's currently out there. Or he's like, oh, where's all the creativity? I was like, it's there, you just gotta look for it. And you know, as soon as you just stop angrily typing on a forum and look on Steam for a day, and you'll find really cool games like Starbound. Or
But PC gaming is stupid.
Yeah,
there's a PSN and an Xbox.
The master race.
Then you know what? You have a tab for that. You probably have never looked at it before. It's called Xbox Live Arcade or PlayStation Network. You can get some of those games for free. It's amazing. But yeah, let's stop with the angry typing and just being closed-minded.
That's right. Yeah, instead of sending death threats to developers, how about you just not buy the game that you hate and listen to Jorge? Because if it wasn't for Jorge, I would not have played Papers, Please this year. And that game.
Well, I mean, it's already proven fact that I'm a patron saint of 2013.
Yeah. Of the indie games.
Pretty much.
I think in general, I think there needs to be, for the gaming community, since that's my business, is the community. As if, I just feel like all the what you said, David, the negativity needs to go away. People need to calm the F down. Before you start typing, really think about what you're typing about. I know this is all the ideal bullshit. Like, this is in my ideal world, if I had like a magic wand and I could wave it and say, let's do this, like this is what I want. I don't think this is gonna happen, but like this is, you know, I would love for people to just think before they type. Mm-hmm. Stop sending death threats. Stop shaming people into expressing their opinion when they express their opinions. Stop like bullying, like the cyberbullying of some of these, like, you know, these developers. It all just needs to stop. Like, I know we're living in a different time now, but I mean, this doesn't help our cause. And yeah, we're just a small piece of, you know, the bigger cog of entertainment and everything like that. But like, I just feel like with this industry,
but we pull in more than a film industry per year.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We do. And the thing is that like, because we do that, I feel like, how do I say this? I feel like, we should rise above. We should rise above the shit that we do. You know, like, it's just, for me personally, like, being on Twitter for this past, like, 2013, for me, burnt me out when it came to controversy. Like, I did not want to be on Twitter.
Yeah.
I did not want to be on Facebook. I didn't want to even go on I fucking, like, work for DualShockers. We fucking write for DualShockers. And I didn't even want to comment, because it was just, I was so done with Xbox or Xbone and PS.
What about the 720 that was 1080? Where'd you go to school? Don't you know the higher number means it's better?
Fuck that noise, dude. I was so burnt out by this, like, quote unquote, unknown console war that apparently existed. That's a stupid statement. Of course, this console war existed, but you know what I mean? It's just like, I feel like this year it was just like everybody was screeching louder than normal or than usual. So, So yeah, I just feel like this, you know, this 2014, let's be nice to each other.
I totally agree.
Let's get more variety in characters. Let's have Rockstar announce a female lead for Grand Theft Auto 7 or 6. Let's have more minorities in games. I don't know. You know,
wait, so you want people to be nicer and you want equality? Can you just pick one, please?
Tall order there.
I want nicer and I want equality.
No, Diane, I totally agree. I just want to reiterate that totally agree. I just also think that it goes doubly for game journalists because there's too many of them that have made a career off of just stirring up the fanboys, and that breeds that negativity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to hold ourselves to a much higher standard.
We have a responsibility.
With great power. No.
Yeah.
All right, so...
We're the hero that the internet needs, not the hero that the internet deserves.
Thanks,
about you,
Jim.
Tony? What do you think?
Well, let's see. My things weren't as deep as what you guys were saying. Basically, this is kind of an ideal thing. It's not going to happen. I want stop releasing the undone games. Like, look at Battlefield 4 and Grand Theft Auto. Like, stop doing that. That'd be nice, you know, if we get a game. Remember the days when you get a game and it actually worked? I want to return to those days. It's just annoying that you put a game in there and you're like, oh, God, is this going to work or not? What's going to happen? I mean, Diana, look at you in contrast. Stop doing that, game industry. Please make sure the game is finished. I know you got to meet deadlines and all that stuff, but... I don't know. This has got to be some way of them fixing that.
Because I think the sad reality to that is at some point the fans are going to, and I think the consumers are going to wisen up and be like, hey, you know, when Battlefield 5 comes out, I might wait a couple of months before I buy it.
Yeah,
I bought Battlefield to the developer.
I won't send death threats. I'll just be like, hey, you know what? The last one kind of burned me because it didn't work until... Yes. The next year, so I was like, maybe I should give it that same amount of time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, at some point, you know, publishers are gonna feel the sting when people start kind of voting with their dollars. And I think with you know, we'd start, and then you know, your incomplete games, or hey, let's stop shipping $60 games and then charging $120 worth of microtransactions.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, that's weird. That, like, that's a
but
little
the
weird.
The thing is that we're idiots for it, and I say we. We as a community are idiots for it because we buy it.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Consistently keep buying that crap. And nobody says anything. Nobody, like, if, can you imagine if Battlefield 4, when with all of the broken games, if every single person just rallied up and went to GameStop and sold it? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that'd be a big statement. Yeah, exactly. You know,
but well, what did people do? People didn't do that. They
sat
there.
No, they just bitched. That's all they did.
They moaned, and like, what? Where are we? Like, my boyfriend is still waiting for Battlefield to work. Apparently, it was patched again, and he's still stuck in like this is like the fifth time. I have no idea how many times he's played through the game. Like at this point, I'm just like, him and like a couple of forum people got together to try and like beat the game. Like, more or less, like, cheat, in my opinion. You didn't hear it from me. But, like, to try and, like, you know, plat the game so they could just, like, to send it back so they can get their money back, so they could get more money back. They didn't want to wait anymore, and they're done with it. And it's just so stupid. If everybody did that in the beginning, this shit wouldn't happen anymore.
Yeah. So people are no longer going to give people benefit of the doubt anymore.
Yes,
I think that's what's going to happen because I think that's what we do. It's like, hey, you know what? I like Battlefield. I'm going to give them my $60. If it doesn't work, I'll put up with it. But it's like, how long can someone put up with something like that?
Yes, it basically comes down to learn from your mistakes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, we got to wrap this up.
Wrap it up.
What do you what are you guys playing this week? What are you playing at the end of 2013? Go.
I played Knack. That game isn't that good.
That's what you're playing right now?
No, that's what I finished playing. I'm currently not playing anything right now. I'm about to start playing the Assassin's Creed DLC, the Freedom Cry.
Really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, the last game I played was Knack. And I haven't read any of the reviews. I know it's gotten bad reviews, but there was a good game somewhere in there, but it was just hampered by a lot of bullshit. But yeah, so that's what I played, and I'm going to play Freedom Cry.
All right.
Yeah, it's good. It's Adewale with a machete.
Adewale.
With a machete. It's really good.
Machete.
George, what are you playing?
What the hell am I playing? I'm finally back on Forza because I like to torture myself, but I got a YOLO car, so I'm going to give it a chance.
All right.
So, you know how
YOLO, man.
Yeah, exactly. And then I started playing, I think just for shits and giggles, I started playing Gunpoint again, which is a really good game. Indie game that came out, kind of like a murder puzzle game, which, you know, hacking and sneaking around and jumping through windows. It's really cool. It's on Steam for like it's on sale for like $4. You should pick it up. And I think I'm replaying. No, never mind. I thought about replaying XCOM, but I gave up on it.
Don't play it.
No, I played enough of it, but I'm like, I don't have the time to like emotionally reinvest into people that I know are going to die. So
yeah.
I can take a break from that until I have another gap of like free time. But I think I'll make a whole DualShockers staff team and.
Oh, God.
You're gonna get me killed so fast.
You're front lines, man. You're my bullet sponge.
Operation Dominican Shield.
Weird shield.
Ryan, Diana, what are you guys playing?
I'm gonna go finish up Guacamelee after we finish this on Vita.
Okay. Diana.
I just started playing on my Vita backlog, so I'm playing Patapon.
Okay.
I'm finishing up Marvel, Lego Marvels on PS4.
All right. Can I try that out tomorrow when I go over there? Do you mind?
What? Lego Marvels?
Yeah, please. Can you just let me lock myself in a room with the PS4 for like an hour? Like that's all I have. See, I haven't played it yet.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
I've been playing Batman Arkham Origins, and you know what, George, I'm sorry, but fuck you. It's not as bad as you guys make it out to be.
It is pretty bad. It's not bad. Okay. It's just insanely mediocre.
That's so
it works. I mean, the game works.
I'm like 20 minutes after the Deathstroke fight, and so far it's been what I've come to expect from Batman Arkham games. The one thing I'll say is it lacks the signature of Paul Dini in terms of the story. But so far, you know, I am enjoying it. Playing that, playing New Leaf,
Animal
Crossing, Kingdom Hearts 3D, which I told Yaris, Editor-in-Chief, that I honestly still do not get the appeal of this franchise. I'm sorry.
Because it's dumb.
Disney.
The Disney thing I don't mind. It's just like I'm playing through the story and I'm like, okay, what the fuck is going on? Like, I feel like I'm playing Final Fantasy 13 again, where I'm just like, looks great and it plays great, but wait, what?
I feel like Kingdom Hearts has like this weird Peter Pan and the Lost Boys appeal that I think I'm just too old for.
Maybe.
That I just don't get.
Yeah.
I just don't care about Sora and Magic Keys. It's like, I'm sorry, Goofy. Like, you know, give me the puppy dog guys. I just don't want to play you.
Though I did just order Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD Remix.
Oh, wow, Kingdom Hearts.
So I'm going
Is that the one with Squall?
It's just the first one. I don't know. But I honestly don't know. I don't know shit about Kingdom Hearts. But when I spoke to Yaris, he's like, get 1.5. It's better than 3D.
Yeah, get the first one. Dude, the first one is just the best one, in my opinion. After that, it starts to get muddled, and they realize they had a hit on their hands, and they wanted to add more shit to it.
2 is really good. 2 is worth playing.
Well, really? Because I was bored.
All right.
There's gummy ships in that one.
Sora, Mickey, and Donald and Goofy are stuck in Tron World. Like that. Like that's the where I stopped playing.
Wait, that is amazing.
Tron you actually World. Said like what? My. I've had dreams about that actually.
Yeah, they're stuck there. Like that's where I left them. I never got them out.
Wait, is that 2 or 3? Wait, is that 2 or 3D?
That's 2.
That's 2.
I cannot wait to play 2. Shit.
Well, in 2 they have the original Tron, like based on the original Tron. Then in 3D it's based on Tron Legacy.
Oh, okay, because I remember seeing Tron. I thought that was the first time that they had it. So in 3D, it's Legacy, and in 2, it's just Tron.
It's the original. Yep.
I actually cannot wait to play 2. Shit. Like, that sounds really cool. No, I like the merging of these universes. I think that's really, fun and interesting. It's just when I'm playing through the story of 3D, I'm like, okay, what? Like, all I know is that there's 7 light and 13 dark, whatever the fuck, and
I don't even know what that means. Dude.
Yeah, that's all I know.
It gets it gets convoluted. It gets so convoluted. Just play the first one where the story was simple and and go from there.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add to this conversation. I never played these games.
I wish I was in your position by never playing a Kingdom
Hearts. The first time I played Kingdom Hearts was at E3 this year. That was the first time I ever even touched one of these games.
Yeah, this 3D is my first time playing one since 2002 when I bought Kingdom Hearts. I played it for like maybe like 5 hours. I honestly don't remember. But I'm giving it all another shot. And just to wrap it up,
I have 1.5, so you know maybe I'll get to it one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get 1.5, play that, and then you know figure out if you want to continue from there.
It's gonna be here within a week. Just wrap it up. I bought Project X Zone for the 3DS, and I played that for a little while. That's another game where I was like, okay, what's going on? And what else did I play? I don't know, some other fucking shit. Okay, so we all gotta go. This is episode 155 of the DualShockers Shockcast. And just to wrap it up, 2013 Game of the Year. Mine is The Last of Us. Diana's is The Last of Us. George, yours is Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag.
Oh, good, because I totally forgot.
Ryan is Animal Crossing New Leaf. Because well, that was his runner-up, but his real game of the year was The Last of Us.
The Last of Us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And then Tony, yours was
BioShock.
BioShock Infinite. Yes. So yeah, The Last of Us gets a lot of love from DualShockers. So yeah, feel free to call us the Sony site again, even though it's not true. But The Last of Us is an amazing game.
I was about to say that, you fucking Sony ponies.
The Sony site. Sony. Shut Sony. Up.
What's a DualShocker anyway?
Don't read. Just, it, no. Moral of the story
That's my
is don't
comment of all time.
Don't read the comments. all right, so we shall see you guys next year.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I know.
You?
I'm getting so drunk tomorrow. Signing off. I'm David, and I was joined this evening by Diana Laura.
Happy New Year, guys!
Tony Polanco.
Get drunk!
Ryan Meitzler.
Goodbye, everyone, and see you in 2014.
And George Jimenez, because he has the best closing lines.
Well, now that I mentioned Peter Pan and the Lost Boys, I think you people should see Hook on New Year's Day. It's an underrated movie that did fairly well, but got critically panned, but it's a fun movie with flying kids fighting grown-ups with swords.
Hook really is good. It's very
it's good. I literally was just thinking about it. I'm like, man, that was not a shitty movie. Yeah. I'd totally watch that again.
Also,
I hate it.
Is kind of weird watching like a bunch of 12-year-olds like fight grown men with like rapiers, and it's like this is dark.
But still more believable than Three Ninjas. I also recommend that you all go see The Wolf of Wall Street, not because I worked on it as a PA, but just because it's amazing.
Plug.
And it is Martin Scorsese's best film since Casino.
It's a tribute to drug use and just overall
just
excess.
It's
great.
It's a comedy of excess.
I left there. I'm like, oh man, I really want to do Quaaludes.
Yes,
like,
and Lemons.
Yes.
I put it above Casino and just slightly below Goodfellas because Goodfellas is just a classic. It's just hard to say anything's better than Goodfellas.
You also had a point, Goodfellas.
Yeah. But all right, so we're gonna cut this off because we have to get some